You're recording. Today's show is about a very interesting topic. Buying chometz on Pesach to be delivered after Pesach. Are you allowed to go to a store, or what's much more common nowadays, on Chol HaMoed, you go online and make an order from an online store, Amazon, or I don't know what food stores they have in America, the Walmart, whatever it is, they order online, that they should deliver food to your house straight away on Motzei Yom Tov or on Thursday Chol HaMoed. You don't want to go out shopping. You want to make sure the next day you've got every single type of chometz that you need in your house, because you can't last another minute, Chas V'Shalom, without eating chometz. So you order it beforehand and it's going to arrive straight after Pesach. Is that mutter or not? So a disclaimer before I start, I'm not passing any halachos. If you want to do this, then please go to Rav Wiener first. But I just want to speak about the sugya a bit and see what comes up. So this is a general Jewish disease that people think that Pesach is a time of suffering and we can't have any chometz and it's a terrible thing. And as soon as Pesach goes out, you want to get chometz. My family in Manchester every single year, straight after Pesach, everyone puts away all the stuff in the kitchen, all the Pesach stuff. And usually within an hour or two, we have pizza sitting on the table. My brother rushes out, he orders pizza, gets the first pizza out of the oven, brings it home, and everyone eats pizza. And it's not such a normal thing. When I first got married, my wife thought it was a crazy thing to do. But that's what we do. And I'm sure there's plenty of Jews all over the world that do a similar sort of thing. So the question is it mutter or not? So the first thing to understand is that when a person makes an order online from a Goyish company, we're talking about, not Jewish company, a Goyish company, he isn't being kina the chometz. When he goes and makes that kinyan, one second.
Yay, we're free.
When he goes and makes that kinyan, he isn't, when he goes online and he chooses what he wants, he chooses some crackers and some cookies and some cake, and he presses order and he types in his bank details, he is not kona the chometz. They do not belong to him. Because according to Jewish law, the way to be kona something from a goy is only through a ma'aser kinyan like Meshicha Hagbah. From a Jew, you can be kona midoraisa with paskin out of Yochanan, you can be kona midoraisa with kesef. But from a goy, the only way to be kona is by making a ma'aser kinyan. You have to take the item and hold it up, or do Meshicha on it. You have to do some sort of ma'aser kinyan. So you don't own the chometz. So seemingly, there's no problem with ordering chometz on Pesach. They should come after Pesach. But we're going to see that it's not so simple. So the Shulchan Aruch brings down a halacha like this. He says that if I've got an eved, and I want my eved to eat, I don't want him to starve. So I give him some money, and I tell him to go out to the shuk and buy some food. I know full well that he's going to buy chometz. It doesn't matter. It's completely mutter, because that's the eved's own business. He can do what he wants with his money. But if I tell him, go and eat, and I will pay back the guy for your eating, then that's going to be an issur. Because while he's eating, there's a choyv on me to pay for these chometz. They become my chometz. Then afterwards, I go and give the money to the shopkeeper. Even if I give it to him before, and I say, this dinner should be for my eved to come and eat, Shulchan Aruch says, awesome. Then he brings another case. The Ramah brings another case, sorry. He says, you're not allowed to buy chometz on Pesach for a goy. Yeah, we know that I'm not allowed to buy chometz for myself on Pesach. I would be chayav malchus. Maybe we'll talk about that a different day. But I also can't buy chometz on Pesach for a goy. Now, the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham and the Aruch HaShulchan, all of them say three reasons why you can't buy chometz on Pesach for a goy. Reason number one, simple reason, it's a gezeirah, because you might come to eat the chometz. If you go to a store and you buy chometz on behalf of a goy, you might come to eat it. Reason number two is Ein Shvichas La'akum. Yeah, this is something that we learned when we learned the sugya of Ger Katan, that a goy cannot be a shliach, and you also can't make a shliach, which is why we had a big problem. How can you make a goy into a ger by using Zakhan al Shlomo Falav? You can't act as a shliach for a goy. So a goy can't have a shliach. That means that if I go on behalf of the goyim, I buy chametz from the store. I'm not his shliach. So who am I? I'm just me. That means that the chametz that I buy are mine in my rishus, and when I give them over to the goyim later, then he's being kind of them off me. But in the meantime, they become my chametz, and therefore, I definitely can't buy chametz on his behalf because I'll be kind of them, and I'll be chayav malchus. And then they give a third reason. Yeah, the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham and the Aruch HaShulchan all say this reason, that you can't buy chametz for a goy because of something called rotza b'kiyum, that you want those chametz to exist. That means that you're not allowed to want chametz to exist on Pesach. If a goy tells you, go and buy chametz for me, then you go and choose chametz in the store, then those chametz, you want them to exist on Pesach, and you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to want chametz to exist on Pesach. Okay, and we're going to discuss exactly the gedorim of this rule, but that is the general rule. You're not allowed to want chametz to exist on Pesach. So, where does this idea come from? So, it's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah on that Samach Dalel Amud Aleph, that if a guy owes me money and he has a gatka, an idol, and he sells that idol to get money to pay me back, or he has yain nesech, yain that was used for Avodah Zarah, and he sells it to get money to pay me back, I'm allowed to take that money. Even though Avodah Zarah is osma hanah, and even though Yain Nesek is osma hanah, I'm allowed to take the money because it's nothing to me. I don't care how he gets his money. He can get it however he wants. It doesn't bother me. But if he comes over to me and he says, I'm going to get you money very soon, just wait 2 days while I find someone on eBay to buy my gatchki, you're not allowed to do that. It's awesome. You're not allowed to take the money from him. Why? Because for those 2 days, says the Gemara, for the 2 days you're waiting for him to sell his Avodah Zarah, you want that Avodah Zarah to exist. Because if the Avodah Zarah were to burn up in the cloud of smoke, or someone were to steal it or something, you wouldn't be getting your money back. So for 2 days, you want the Avodah Zarah to exist. Since for those 2 days, you want the Avodah Zarah to exist, it is also because of Rotza B'Kiyum. The Shulchan Aruch brings another case, which is even stricter, that if a guy comes over to you and he says, I want you to look after my idol for me. I don't want you to be a Shomer Sacher or a Soka or a Shoel. I want you to be a Shomer Chinuch. Yeah, so I'm sure everyone has learned Hamafkid or the beginning of Bar Metzia. A Shomer Chinuch is potter for everything apart from Peshir. So I don't have any responsibility over this idol unless I do something negligent to it. Even so, it's also for me to become a Shomer Chinuch on that item. Why? Because since if it were to get lost or stolen or smashed or something like that, let's say it's Yai Nesek and the barrel were to smash, even though I wouldn't have to pay any money, I would feel bad. I would feel guilty. I'd be a bit embarrassed about it. And therefore, it's Rotza B'Kiyumo. I want this Avodah Zarah to continue to exist, because if it ceases to exist, then it'll be embarrassing for me that I have taken someone else's comments. So that is the Gemara Avodah Zarah. The Taz, the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah, the Aruch HaShulchan, they all say this rule will apply to chametz as well. Just like Avodah Zarah, if you want it to exist, it's a problem. So too, chametz, if you want it to exist, it's a problem. If that's the case, then over here, when I order chametz on Pesach from a website to be delivered straight after Pesach, I'm going to have a big problem. Because the whole Pesach, I want those chametz to exist. Even though I don't own them yet, I don't have a kinyan on them. Wherever they are in the warehouse somewhere, I want them to exist so that they will arrive at my house straight away on Matzah Pesach. So, since it's wrote to be Kiyomai, the Choya, it should be awesome. Yeah, this is also a big issue. It's every case is different, but people have shares in chametz companies. Let's say you've got a company that makes bread or something like that, a food company, and you have shares in that company, shares in commodities. It could be a problem because you're rotza b'kiyumo. You want those chametz to continue to exist, because if they don't exist anymore, then your shares are going to not be worth very much. So this is the sugya, rotza b'kiyumo. So there's a few ways out possible. Ask a rabbi about whether you're allowed to do it or not, but there's a few possible ways out. First of all, there's a Radvaz who says the rotza b'kiyumo only applies to Avodah Zarah. It does not apply to chametz. So therefore, on Pesach, even if there's chametz that I want to exist, it doesn't matter. And then there's two teshuvas. There's a teshuva of the Beis Shlomo, and there's a teshuva of the Igros Moshe. Moshe Feinstein. So the Shuvah of the Beis Shlomo, he says a story like this. It sounds mamish like our case. Someone from his town went over to a guy who sold whiskey, and he said to the guy, on Chol HaMoed Pesach, that I'm going to buy this whiskey off you. And they made an agreement between them, which is binding in Goyish law. They did a handshake, whatever it is, and made an agreement. He won't be able to back out. He's going to sell him the whiskey. But he says it doesn't become mine until after Pesach. And he came back to town, and all of the other merchants heard about this, and they went crazy with him. They started screaming and shouting at him, saying, you can't do it. So he went to his father, who happened to be a rabbi, and he said, Daddy, did I do anything wrong? I think that wasn't kind of the comments on Pesach. Was there anything wrong with what I did? So his father said, you're being poets together. He didn't say anything halakhically wrong. He just said, you're being poets together. You're going out of the norm, and you shouldn't be doing that. So there was a Talmid Chacham Muflug who lived in the town, and he got very upset with the father. He said, there's nothing wrong with purchasing crumpets on Pesach to receive them after Pesach. And this is Mamash Arkis, the bang online. They said, there's nothing wrong with it. And everyone started doing it. But when this Beis Shlomo found out about it, he got very upset, because there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah, and the Aruch HaShulchan, all Paskin like it, that if you want crumpets to exist on Pesach, then it's also. And over here, since he went over to the whiskey merchant and said, I want your whiskey, Lechori is not going to be able to take it after Pesach. And he said, I want to stop everyone from doing this. But since everyone starts doing this, he said, I don't have the koyach at the moment to protest. It could be he was very old or something. When the Shiloh came to him, he said, he didn't have the koyach to protest. But he held that halakhically it's wrong, and you should not be buying stuff on Pesach but after Pesach because of Ritz procurement. So it seems to be a machlokes between the Chacham Muflug in that story and the Beis Shmuel. Beis Shlomo, sorry. But it could be that there's another way out. There's another way that we could be matter these comments. The Eggers Moshe discussed a very, very interesting shayla. If you have a guy who's in prison, so in prison they get a meal every single day. The prison warden comes and he delivers each person his meal. And in that meal there was comments. Yeah, they would give them bread and whatever it was, some sort of dip or something and some water every single day. So one of the prisoners sent a shayla to Rabbi Asher. Moshe. Before Pesach, he wants to sell his portion in whatever they bring to him to his cellmate. And his cellmate, he'll take it in his cellmate, eat it, and he'll pay money for it. Is he allowed to do it? That was the shayla. So Moshe answered that you're allowed to do it. He is allowed to sell his portion to his cellmate. Even though the portion contains chomet, as long as he makes the sale before Pesach, everything's fine. So he goes through all the different parts of this shayla. He says that even though by law the prison is mechuyav to give every single prisoner food, they have to make sure that every single prisoner gets a portion of food every single day. However, that doesn't make him be kona those crumpets. Because if he was kona them, then it'll be a big problem. He won't be able to sell them afterwards. He can't get handoff from crumpets. He said that he was never kona those crumpets because the government owns those crumpets. Whoever it is that funds it, let's say it's the government or the council that funds it, they own those comments up to the point that you take those comments into your hands, till the prisoner takes the comments into his hands. Technically speaking, they could give it to you earlier, and they could be macking you those comments, and it would be dinner de machus, dinner. Any government that makes a law, that would be the binding law. But they don't do that. There's no reason for them to do that. It's just like when you come to eat in my house, I own the comments until you put it into your mouth. So when you're eating in the prison or the government, whoever it is, owns the chomet until you put the food into your mouth. And he says, even Mashiach is not going to be kona. Usually a way of being kona of a goy is by dragging the thing into your rishos. He said, in a prison, it's not going to work because Mashiach only works when you're standing either in no man's land, in a domain that doesn't belong to anyone, or in your own house. But over here, you're not in your own domain. You're in a place that you don't even want to be there. You put the bar korcho. So therefore, you can't use that rishus to do mashikah. You can't drag something into the rishus of a prison. It doesn't work. Therefore, says Ramosha, the only time you'll be kona is by taking that food and lifting it up and doing hagbah. That you could be kona even in someone else's rishus by making a kenya hagbah. So when you take the food and lift it up, then you'll be open of getting comments on pizza. But as long as you don't do that, and they bring the portion into your prison cell, and your cellmate takes it before you lift it up, and then he pays you for it, there's nothing wrong. There's no problem. You're allowed to do it. And he brings a moshul for this. There's a Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara says that if someone becomes a ger, and he has a brother who's still a goy, and then their father dies, and the father leaves a massive inheritance, and part of the inheritance is avodah zarah. So we're worried that maybe that avodah zarah fell into the portion of the Jew. So as long as the Jew hasn't picked up the avodah zarah, before he makes a kinyan on the avodah zarah, he can say to his brother, you take the avodah zarah and I'll take other things instead. Even though you're not allowed to sell avodah zarah, you can't get hanah from something that is swapped with avodah zarah. If you do a switch, a trade, you can't get hanah from whatever you trade with avodah zarah. Over here, it's not called a trade, the Gemara says, because since being yerush from your goyish father is not a din d'oraisa, it's only drabbanon. The reason why they said that a ger is yerush's father is so that he doesn't go off the derech and try and become a goy again because he wants to get money. So you're yerush your father, but only drabbanon. Since it's only drabbanon, it's not mine yet, really, m'doraisa. So I can trade with my brother up until the point that I pick it up. So Sefer Moshe is exactly the same thing in the prison cell. Until I take my meal and lift it up, then it doesn't become my food, and it doesn't become my food, and I can trade it or sell it to my prison mate. Yes, Yuli?
What I think some prisons do, I don't know if, I guess this prison that he was in didn't do that, but I thought that you go into a line, like you all go into the cafeteria and they give you your food. They give you a tray. They don't always deliver it.
Then it'll attack a big problem. Maybe this guy's in solitary confinement or something. Unless somehow you can arrange that your cellmate goes and lifts up both trays and you don't even take it. But yeah, if you had to go and lift up the tray, it could be that if you don't have das to be conuit when you lift it up, and you think to yourself, I'm not doing this in my Sakinian, maybe it'll be okay as well. But yeah, the case in which you're speaking about doesn't seem to be like that. So that's what he says, everything's mutter, everything's fine. And then he brings in, puts a spanner in the works, and he says, what about this rule that we've been discussing of rutsa v'kiyuma? Like the Beis Shlomo said, he brought from the Magen Avraham, he brought from the Mishnah Berurah, brought from the Aruch HaShulchan, if you want chametz to exist on Pesach, it's also. Okay, I want my chametz to exist, because if they don't exist, I won't be able to sell them to my cellmates and get any money. So Moshe says there's a way out. There's a way of getting out of this. He says, since technically speaking, I don't care if I get bread. I could get whatever meal you want. Let's say all the bread ran out, all went moldy. So the prison, they have to give me a meal. They have to find a way to get me a new meal. So I don't need that bread. It doesn't mean anything to me. If the bread goes, then they'll be mukhir to go out and buy me some fruit or something like that. They have to get me a different meal. And therefore, I don't want these chametz. I just want food. And whatever food it is, I'll sell to my cellmate. He says, even if by law they have to give you bread, so if this bread disappears, they have to find you some other bread, that is not enough to be kurut b'kiyumah. The fact that I want chametz to exist in the world is not kurut b'kiyumah, because everyone's chametz to exist in the world during Pesach. You'll be very upset if a month after Pesach there's absolutely nothing to eat, there's no chametz, no bread. Everyone wants chametz to exist in the world during Pesach. The only problem is when I want specific chametz to exist. That's when there's going to be a problem. And over here, you don't want any specific chametz to exist. You're happy as long as you get bread, then you don't mind. And technically, you'd be happy with any food. He says that this is only if you tell him before Pesach, I'm sending you my meal, whatever it is. If you say, I'm sending you my chametz, then you're already saying, I want it to be chametz so that I can make this sale. But if you say, I'm selling you my meal, then he says it's completely mutter. So now, Yesh Lodon, in our case, when you buy from a website, so if you're buying something very basic, let's say you just want chametz, you don't really care what it is, you just want, after Pesach, to be able to eat some chametz. Let's say you buy sliced bread. So it could be, it's okay, because you don't need this sliced bread. And if, let's say, the White House goes up in flames and they lose this sliced bread, the churuk, since you've paid, they're going to have to go out and find you some other sliced bread. It doesn't matter. Because you don't want any specific sliced bread. You just want to have bread on Motzei Pesach. And the fact that you want chametz to carry on existing somewhere in the world so that they can get you bread, that's not kurut b'kiyumah. You don't want any specific chametz. But if you make an order of loads of different things, like cookies and cakes and all sorts of specific items, then l'chora, you chose those items because you want those items. And you'll be very upset if there's a fire in the warehouse and they run out of the specific cookies that you wanted to get. Then that's called root to bekuma. You want those cookies to exist all Pesach, in which case, l'chora, it would be awesome. And similarly, with when you're taking shares in a company, you want that company to have the chometz that they have, because if it goes up in flames, then you're going to lose a lot of money. So, again, ask a rabbi before you do anything, but l'chora, that's called root to bekuma. If you're choosing something specific type of chometz, then it's going to be also. But if you're taking something more general, like in the case of the prison where he just gets a meal, and even if it's going to be bread, it's just bread, it's something very general, then that's not going to be human because you don't want specific chometz to exist. Now, there was a shayla I thought people would ask when I was going through the sugya. I didn't really understand that l'chora, every single Pesach, we're going to have this problem. Because every single Pesach, when you sell your chometz to a goy before Pesach, and they're sitting in your cabinet, you are roots of bekuma in those chometz. You want those chometz to continue existing during Pesach, because if they disappear, then you're going to be in very big trouble, because straight after Pesach, you're going to open your closet, and there's going to be no chometz there, right? Every single year, people sell chometz. There are others who are machmir not to sell real chometz to a goy. My personal minhag, I don't sell real chometz except for very expensive stuff like my whiskey collection. But if, let's say, all my whiskeys went up in flames during Pesach, I'll be quite upset. I won't have any whiskey left. So why is that not called roots of procurement? So the teretz is like this: that when you sell chometz to a goy, the beis din sit down with him with a piece of paper and they say that we are sending you all these chometz. At the moment, you have to pay anything, but if you go and take those chometz, then you're going to have to pay. And at the end of Pesach, you buy them back off him, if he doesn't eat them. Now, technically, you could go and eat them. There's nothing wrong with him doing that. The question is, would I have a problem with him eating those chometz? So, since I'm going to get money out of it, I think some places, they even overcharge him for them. That means you're going to have to pay extra if you go and eat the chometz. If that's the case, I'm more than happy. You can come eat my chometz, and you can pay me for them. There might be a problem if you stock up your closets before Pesach with chometz, so that on Motzei Pesach, you can open up your closet and you've got chometz there to eat. That could be a serious problem, because that's called roots of bekuma. You want those specific chometz to be there so that on Motzei Pesach, you can eat those chometz. But if you're not doing that, and I don't know what the etteris is to that, you can ask a rabbi whether you're actually allowed to do it or not. But if you just have leftover chometz in your cabinet, you've got whiskey that you didn't finish drinking, or whatever it is, then to sell it to a goy is not a problem, because you don't want those chometz to be there. You're very happy for the goy to go and take them and drink them, and he'll pay you for them, and you have the cash. That's fine. So that's the general rule. The roots of bekuma is only going to be a problem on Pesach when you want these chometz to be here on Motzei Pesach. If you don't want these specific chometz to be here on Motzei Pesach, then everything is going to be fine.